This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody.
Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. As always, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Fickle, Johnny Cakes Audible, and Jason Bishop. And right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, it's our pal Rick Snyder from TheFanDC.com. Hey, Rick.
Morning, boys. Finally a weekend to talk about something.
What's up,
yeah, we've got a little something to talk for about.
Really was cool.
Yeah,
what'd you think?
Fun.
As now we stare into the abyss of the next 2-3 months.
Yeah, it looks but, like it. Yep.
Yeah, that was a long draft weekend, but I liked it. I thought it was cool being online. Everybody likes to see what's behind you. I do this when I do my videos, too. I got to be careful.
Oh, yeah.
Because people look, what's on your shelf, you know?
Oh, they zoom like in.
There's definitely always that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You could go green screen. I've gone green screen, Rick.
Haven't figured that out yet.
Right. Well, what do you think, though, overall? Like, what elements of the draft do you think? I clearly think they want to keep at least those sneak peeks into guys, you know, and their families. To me, that was the best part. I mean, obviously, you like to see, like, Cliff Kingsbury's palace. But really, the best part was seeing the families all together and their own environment.
And their kids hanging out behind them.
Yeah, that was really, really cool.
Yeah, it's like 11:30 pick, and there's the kids running around. I'm thinking, 11:30? But, you know, kids were mugging on TV. That was kind of funny. I mean, yeah, you had to love to see that big house. I mean, wow, some of these guys. But they're never there. I know these guys. They're always at the park.
Right,
working.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny that they do that. But you know, it was a chance to look behind the curtain. I mean, watching Goodell almost fall asleep at the end of the night, that was pretty funny to watch. You know, you figured the last pick would be made from his bed. You know, he was zoning out as fast as I was. I mean, the draft is a grind. It used to be a 2-day weekend grind. It was insufferable. This is a little easier. It goes a little quicker, I think. I think it went quicker just doing the virtual one because you didn't have to do the walk across the stage, all
right.
These things. You know, so that was kind of cool. It got a little bit faster. And, you know, I don't know. The Redskins didn't exactly impress me that much. They got one really good player and maybe one that's interesting. But I didn't think they did that much better. I gave him a B. I mean, Chase Young, okay, ding, ding. We talked about him for 3 months.
Yeah.
Antonio Gibson, you know, Antonio Gibson could be something. Is he a McCaffrey? I don't think that. But he's an interesting player and he could help them some. And then after that, I don't know, maybe Gandy Golden. His most interesting thing is the dude like grades livestock shows. I mean, who does that? He juggles, he plays Rubik's Cube. I mean,
he's a Renaissance man.
I like that. What's not to like about that, Rick?
It's a great feature story for OTAs normally. So, you know, but can he catch the ball? I don't know. I mean, I watched his video. Looks like it, but we'll see. I mean, Charles, you know, classic Redskins smoke and mirrors. We traded Trent Williams for a bag of balls, and we just drafted a new guy. Please, are you kidding me? You want to tell me Charles is Trent Williams' successor? Oh, you know.
Yeah, I did want to start with you on the Trent thing. Let's kind of slow down and let's talk about this Trent deal.
Yeah.
How do you look back on it? So you're saying they traded him for a bag of balls, but to me it's probably the best they could do at this point.
And that's your fault for being at this point. You know, now, this is Bruce Allen's sin, okay? Yeah.
It's not Ron Rivera's fault.
Yeah, we can't fire him twice. I mean, that's the problem there. But, you know, we should go back and give 10 more lashes out for this one. But, yeah, but they should have tried to make some kind of move before this draft because you watched everybody draft someone. I don't blame them for drafting someone. I probably would have, too. Why would you want Trent Williams? He's going to be 32, coming off a year. You don't know what it is. He wants more money. He wants a longer contract. He's been hurt 5 straight years. I mean, come on. I'm not going to make Trent Williams the greatest left tackle in Redskins history. Matter of fact, I think Redskins left tackles have steadily fallen since Jacoby. Lachey was really good, too. And, you know, Samuels, I think, was a little better than Trent. So we've gone steadily a little bit down each time. I mean, Trent was a very good player, but he's at the end of his career. And they should have made a move when they could have got a first last year. I mean, now, but if a fifth this year, what'd they turn that into? Oh, let's see, a reserve center from San Diego State. Okay, great.
Right.
That's nothing.
But,
that's nothing.
But, Rick, doesn't it tell you something about Ron Rivera that they've moved on from Trent Williams, they moved on from Josh Norman, they moved on from Quentin Dunbar? If you're a headache, you're out of here.
Well, here's the thing. All the noise that you hear outside Redskin Park and people think are such a big deal is not the same thing inside the park. It really is not. Two different worlds. And so I think they could have had Trent come in there. It would not have been, you know, chaos in the locker room and all that nonsense. But I would have told Trent, listen, I'll tell you what. If we get a good offer at the end of preseason because somebody got hurt like last year, all right, we'll consider trading you. Otherwise, stay the year, make you $12 million, and go be a free agent. He could have made that move, too. It's easier to say all trouble players, please exit the building. You know, Rivera's a strong dude. He played for Ditka, you know, and I've read a lot about him where he's influenced by John Madden, and they're good friends. You know, he's a smart guy. I'm actually very excited about Rivera's chances of doing well. But this one, just because the guy's disgruntled, so what? So are we. You know, I'm not exactly happy right now either. Nobody's sending me anywhere.
Yeah, but they had to get him out, man. I understand that they had opportunities, and Allen botched it last year by turning down that deal, but they had to get him out. I mean, I know that the Niners stole him. I get it, fifth and a third next year. But you had to get him out. You had to get something for him.
But when the Niners didn't draft the tackle, they now were definitely relying on this trade. And that's when you have the leverage to say, that's a second next year, buddy, not a third. Because if you don't take my deal, you got no left tackle either. That's where you press the gas. And they didn't do it. And it was, when you pay a year away, you go around higher. So you're telling me you would have gave you a fourth this year? Or we'll do a third next year? No, it should have gone the other way. Third to second. That said, I think Kyle Smith did a very good job, and I think he should be the GM. But man, they let this one go too early.
I'll say this: I thought JP Finley made a good point on social media that this showed, though, that Rivera is kind of in charge because Bruce before never would deal with San Francisco, right? There's no way in, you know, because they're still bitter over the whole Shanahan deal.
Well, yeah, I mean, we all know Rivera's in charge, and we all know Bruce was, you know, did a poor job. So we just didn't squeeze any extra juice out of this, and it's a shame. The team definitely needs it. I mean, left tackle, what is it, Jerron Christian, you know, or is it Charles? Either way, you're asking Haskins, listen, buddy, we need you to really get better, but watch out on the left side. You know,
well,
it's not exactly great.
It's not over yet. I mean, you didn't think Donald Penn was going to come in and play as well as he did, so they'll probably bring in another veteran or two. Plus, didn't they sign a free agent already that they could pencil in potentially as a left tackle?
And I'm not even mentioning his name because I don't think he's going to be the starter. And I can't remember his name this early in the morning. But Donald Penn could maybe even come back. I mean, there's a chance that they bring in somebody. But that's what we're talking about. You're bringing in somebody. Now, Penn did a great job last year, you know, on a short notice. He did, you know, he and Eric Flowers. So this line is still kind of reworking itself, and he drafted a little bit of depth. But most of this draft was just kind of guys that you plug in. And this is a 3-13 team. And in a vacuum, maybe this helps. But I thought they lost pace a little bit between Dallas and Philly had better drafts. The Giants had a decent draft. You know, they didn't keep getting – this whole offseason has not impressed me.
Philly? Philly took a quarterback in the second round.
Yeah, they have which a they draft. Need because this is the only team where if you have two quarterbacks, you have, you know, to win. Look at Philly. It just proves that. So I didn't have a problem with that. They also picked up a couple receivers I think are good. You know, I still think Dallas is the front runner, but Dallas got a little better too.
I'm sorry. I can't take a guy in the second round. He's got to start day one and play for a long time. I can't take a backup in the second round. I thought they botched that one.
Except for quarterback. That's the one position I would disagree with you there on.
Yeah.
Now, second rounders all should start. Third rounders really could start. On a 3-13 team, how many players are, you know, unbeatable at their positions?
Yeah, well, we'll agree to disagree there. I mean, like Carson Wentz is going to play three games.
No, Schefter had a point, though. That and it's very interesting, and it could also explain why the Saints signed Winston. That if Corona's still around and guys all of a sudden get Corona, you really need a backup quarterback that you believe in that you could put in there and he could play. So
right, which is that's my point on the Eagles. They need that number two quarterback.
Yeah,
I mean, just shows with Wentz and all. I mean, this is going to be an interesting year because normally on Wednesday this week, I'd be looking at these new rookies, and you'd be able to see Rivera on the field and get a feel for some of this stuff. And we're not going to see any of that now until whenever, you know, maybe July. I don't know if there'll be probably won't be a camp early. So there's a lot of things missing now in the coming off season that you could tell with these rookies what's going on and a new coach, and we're not going to see any of it.
All right. Well, thank you, Rick. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right,
have
guys.
A good day,
good
Rick.
Next few months. Have a good next few months. I'll see you in the fall.
We will. Thank
see you in September.
So, man, yeah. I'm the only one that's high on the Skins draft so far.
No, not true. No, that's not true.
It's true.
I mean, you're upset that people were giving it a B.
I'm not giving him an A+.
Rick Snyder gave him a B.
Yeah, he was down in it, though. The only reason why he gave it a B is because of Chase. He pretty much nicked and crushed everybody else. I don't know. I really liked it. I thought it went well. I mean, not that all those guys are going to be starters or anything, but I just thought they all fit needs. Made a lot of sense to me.
They got to coach them up now. Yeah, let's see if they coach them up. You know,
hyped up McLuhan's draft picks, and those guys didn't pan out. So who knows?
The coaching them up part is the issue with, you know, no OTAs. They may not reconvene until training camp, and who knows when that's going to be. So now it's just a big waiting game for the most part.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the Patriots not drafting a quarterback? Didn't you think they were going to make a move for a quarterback?
Well, based on all the mocks, yeah. I mean, you thought maybe Jordan Love, maybe they trade up to Jordan Love, but they traded out. Shocker, they traded out again.
Right.
Well, they've already got two guys, right? Didn't they re-sign the donk they always have as a backup?
Hoyer's back there and Stidham.
They're relying on Stidham.
Yeah, they think it's going to be Stidham and Hoyer.
Unless they're
maybe. That's a Cam Newton landing spot.
It's a possibility.
It is amazing that Cam is still out there. But again, I was talking about it with a buddy of mine yesterday. Cam's the kind of guy that if he's not starting, I'm telling you, he's going to pout. There's no way Cam is going to take that.
Of course
lightly.
He is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So that's the biggest. That's probably the biggest impediment to him being on a roster.
Plus,
right now.
There aren't that many other landing spots where he would have a chance to start. Maybe Jacksonville, a few other spots, but
right.
I mean, those are drying up at this point.
Right, but you might have to pull a Jameis Winston and a little humble pie and sit for a year.
Take a one-year deal and you know, test the market again in 2021.
Exactly.
Well, right, look, they were dominant for 20 years. Of course they're going to take a step back if Brady leaves.
Yeah.
I would think they had a ton of picks.
They did have a lot of picks.
They had a ton of picks.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067 is the number as we talk NFL draft. Do you want to let people know you can donate your car today to the Purple Heart Foundation. Donating is easy, hassle-free, and your donation is tax-deductible. Last year, the Purple Heart Foundation provided assistance to over 18,000 of America's bravest veterans, helping them with VA benefits, coping with post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, and providing suicide prevention assistance. You can be the difference. Donate your car today. Visit DonatePurpleHeart.org. That's DonatePurpleHeart.org.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. You can always call us at 800-636-1067. Same number to text us and tweet us at Junks Radio. A couple of tweets. Don tweets us, Carmen Electra is fine beyond belief, but the reason we haven't seen her since her MTV days is she has zero talent.
Well, that is probably matter. True. Does that really matter? We see a ton of people that are celebrities.
80% of TV.
Yeah.
No talents.
I feel like that doesn't mean anything. Especially like via social media. Like she should be blowing up. She should have 20 million followers. She should be like Liz Hurley.
Well, apparently she's on Instagram a lot. I was reading something about her. She married Dennis Rodman, Dave Navarro, and then she was with some sort of heavy metal guy for a while.
Oh, she was? I don't know that other guy on the resume. I'll have to look that up.
Well, the Dave Navarro thing was back when we were like at HFS, wasn't it?
Yeah, she was married. Yeah, might have been. Years. They had a reality show.
Right.
And apparently she hasn't done much since. The other thing I wanted to mention is when we were talking about the draft before and some of the prospects having multiple phones, Ruff tweets us and says they had two phones because the NFL sent them all Verizon iPhones for the draft.
Right. Right. So it's a sponsorship deal. Yeah, it makes all sense in the world. By the way, is Kim Jong-un dead or what? What's
Who
going
knows?
On?
I don't know. It's
heard,
a big
I heard so many conflicting reports over the weekend.
I'm going to say not dead.
I'm going to say dead, too.
My vibe is my tingle, not dead.
My How many tingle? Holes in ones does he have in his golf career?
Like 200.
Yeah. Like 200, yeah. And he's got like 500, 300 bowling games. I mean, the guy's a genius.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I know that there were these reports, and they were even asking Trump about it before, and he said, no, he thinks that they're not true. But then TMZ came out this weekend, and TMZ, you say what you want, they're around stuff. Like, when they're sniffing around, usually, you know, there's something, where there's smoke, there's fire. And they tweeted flat out that he was dead, that something like the sister even leaked somewhere that he was dead, but then I'm reading that he just left because he was scared of the virus. I'm also reading that one of his bodyguards had the virus, and so he's just in lockdown away from everybody. Nothing about the surgery, which is what TMZ reported, that he had a botched heart surgery.
I heard the surgeon had shaky hands. He had hurt. Like he had a big hand at the poker table and couldn't contain it.
But they're saying that Kim is fearful of the COVID-19 because he's obese. He's got high blood pressure. Shocker, he's got diabetes. He's got all the big things. His dad had a heart attack. So, you know, it would make sense that we'd be scared of it. And I remember there were reports that when someone got COVID-19 early on, they would just kill them because they didn't want it to spread in North Korea. But, you know, maybe it's gotten to the point where it's done more than that. But, you know, there were reports that he was dead. There were reports that he was in a vegetative state. And I just need to know, is that little turd alive or
I think
dead?
The longer you don't see him, the more it lends credence to that there is something going on with his health.
Like that, you they're also see- saying...
But South Korea is saying that's not true.
Right.
And that's South Korea is saying that they have enough intelligence that they are confident that he is not dead.
Right. And that's what Trump said last week, towards the end of the week. They're also saying that he may have gotten injured during one of their missile launches.
Who knows?
Come on. You don't stay like 1,000 yards back when you're launching a missile. Come on. Even I know that. And I've never launched a missile. Stay super far away.
Maybe he's too close. Who knows?
Are you guys getting quarantine fatigue? There was an article about how
3 weeks ago.
Many people are getting quarantine fatigue and they are bouncing out of the house a little bit more. I know Jason on Saturday said he was going to travel to Maryland to visit the Moonies.
I went over to the Moonies' house, so we had Lido's Pizza. And
did you go inside the house?
Oh, yeah. We were all sitting at the same table. We violated all kinds of social distancing laws.
Well, people are just getting fed up.
Yeah, they're just getting fed up.
We're gonna go meet some friends today, and we're going to try to keep it. Actually, it's family.
Give them a big hug when you see
them. No, we're going to try to keep it separated. Keep it separated. But, I mean, who knows how that's going to go?
We did a third birthday. Isabella's best friend shares a birthday like a month later, and we went over to their house, and it was kind of social distancing, but eventually the kids started playing together. What are you going to do? And you're trying to tell them not to touch each other.
Well, my kids keep saying this, and I'm sure your kids are saying the same thing to you. If we've been quarantined for 40 days,
right, we're fine.
They've been quarantined for 40 days. What are we doing here? They should be. And you know, it's hard to argue that logic. Other than, well, the parents have been going out to the grocery and stuff, and you just don't know.
Right.
They could be asymptomatic. That's kind of what you have to get. But that gets old after a while when you know they don't see any consequences of it.
It's definitely getting old. Now, I did stay away from the grocery store this weekend, but I'm in dire straits. I just finished.
Well, let me tell you something.
Pummeled the cereal. I'm like, we have nothing.
You're running low.
My kids were complaining like crazy. We don't have any more food. We're all out of food. And I just ordered food, you know, like 4 or 5 days ago. It seemed crazy to me. So I was like, all right. I was almost about to go. I have truly tried to stay out of the stores. I'm trying to do the right thing. So I said, Instacart just hired 250,000 employees. Let me go to... I went on Instacart. I got my Safeway and my Giant within about 18 hours. I got huge deliveries, and they all came first thing in the morning yesterday. So I ordered them Saturday evening, like around 9 p.m. at night. And by the morning, actually it was about 12 hours later, I had both deliveries. So I highly recommend right now. I was down on it about 2 weeks ago. But at this point, I highly recommend Instacart because I think they've upped their employees and they're just a lot quicker now. You got to pay a $15 delivery fee, but
I don't mind going to Harris Teeter, which is right here in the neighborhood, but I just try and do it once a week. So I'll probably go today.
Slap on the mask and go.
Yep.
Yeah, put on my mask. I don't even bother with the gloves anymore.
No gloves.
Gloves.
I will tell you.
This is the way I look at it. What percentage of Americans have corona?
Well, that's the great debate.
They don't know.
They don't know.
All right, well, so, let's just take a guess. About 1%.
On the high side, it could be as much as 15%.
Well, have had it, not currently.
Have it.
Correct.
Yeah,
currently.
Have had it.
How many open cases are there currently?
Maybe 3% or 2% or something. Yeah.
I think it's less than that.
They report about a million, right about a million right now, positive cases.
Right, which would be...
That's less than 1%.
Right, and but about, that, you know that's not accurate.
And there are over 55,000 deaths now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know, but it's in a low single-digit percentage that probably has it right now.
But you're right. If you play the math game, math is on your side.
99% of the people you see every day don't have it.
It depends on where you are, but yeah.
We're pretty safe where we are in our neighborhoods. Well, I'm not exposed to anybody, really, besides the guys I play golf with twice a week. And I'm pretty confident they're fine. And then my family, I mean, I don't go, my wife won't let me go into the stores.
Yeah.
So maybe I go through a drive-through or I go to the bank, but I'm not exposed to anybody.
How's Thomas C. Mooney doing? Because I believe the courts are just shut down, right? In the
He's
state
still
of
working.
Crime is down too. That can't be good for one Thomas C. Mooney.
He just got retained on a double murder in PG County. A guy went up to a car, it was four guys sitting in a car, and he shot up the car and killed two of those guys.
Allegedly. Yeah.
And
you're not doing him any favors, right?
Yeah. Well, people are still killing each other in PG County.
So I didn't realize you were going inside the house when you told me while we were doing the show.
Well, it was raining.
that you were going to the Moonies. I thought you were just doing a drive-by.
Yeah, you said you were going to do a social distancing get-together.
I know, but it started to rain, Richie.
So then it just forced you inside.
So we went to their back patio.
Plans change at that point.
Back patio's not bad.
They have a covered – well, I was inside the house, too. I mean, we were playing cards at the table.
Oh, well, then, yeah, you did.
Let's play some cards.
I mean, come on.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean
– I can't do it.
At the end of the day, you're not going to be able to keep Americans trapped in their homes for, like, 6 months. I mean, it's completely preposterous.
People are losing their minds.
Yeah. And then the fatality rate is much lower than they suggested. It could be as low as 0.2%. So, and eventually, we're going to have to get back out there.
It's of course, that is 0.2% with the social distancing.
But that's what the models all had, the social distancing. And those were incorporated.
Right.
So, I mean, that's 0.2 with no vaccine. Right. The flu is 0.1 with a vaccine.
Yeah, but you just wonder what it would be like if there was no social distancing.
Well, if you looked at the models had social distancing incorporated into them.
I know, I'm saying.
And those mortality rates were still much higher.
What would the mortality rate be had we not done any of this, is my question.
I don't know that the mortality rate. I don't know that the only way it would be different would be if the hospitals, which were overrun. That's really all they were trying to do, is prevent the hospitals from being overrun.
Well, I have to tell you this: while you did your non-social distancing get together Saturday night, we made a good move. So the five of us actually each put a place to eat in the hat. And we pulled out to see if anything got two votes. And, of course, nothing got two votes. But eventually we ended up – the kids wanted Potbelly. So we got food from Potbelly. But the other move that we made –
so that was random. They didn't get to pick. It was just random?
No, they each picked. So everybody picked. Even Isabella. She wanted La Madeline. It was either going to be a place in Rio, which is right by us, or in our neighborhood, Crown Farm.
Yeah.
So it was like La Madeline, Potbelly, Coastal Flats. Nothing was doubled up. And eventually, I think it was Kelsey who maybe chose Panera, and then she said, yeah, let's do Potbelly. And so we did Potbelly. But the other move we made, this was just for the adults, the over 21ers, me and my wife. We got curbside just chips and queso and chips and guacamole plus their margarita kit from Uncle Julio's.
That sounds pretty good.
It was really good.
I like that.
So just pulled up to the right outside Uncle Julio's, and they had five spots, and all of them were full. So Uncle Julio's is doing okay, but, I mean, actually, relative, because that place prints money, and usually inside, which probably has, I don't know, 50 tables.
Right,
they usually have an hour wait at all times, and instead they've got, you know, five cars parked outside.
They're not doing the same sort of business, but it's good that they're at least the curbside seems like.
But they
like
came
it's
out and they
well.
Brought out the bag, and you know, we had margaritas, and I should show you the bag of chips that we have. We got two just monstrous bags of chips with the queso and guac, which was fantastic.
Yeah, by the way, tortilla chips in a good Mexican restaurant they're always just better than chips you can buy like off the shelf in a grocery store.
It's better than Tostitos.
They're always better.
They're so good.
And Uncle Julio's queso is like A++++.
Oh yeah. I actually, what happens is my wife like put it in, you know, a nice little bowl. And then when you get to the bottom bowl, I just put my finger in and just start dipping it in the queso.
I've done that move in the movie theaters before.
Yes.
Because you always run out of chips. In the movie theater, nachos, you always run out of chips. So then you have to use your finger.
You're a nachos guy. I always get popcorn. I've never eaten this many chips in my life because I'm not kidding. I've ordered 10 bags of those Ritz. I put them before on social media. Those, what are they?
Thin crisps.
The thin crisp. They're the sour cream and onion, I think they are.
Yeah.
They are just, I'm telling you, they're the best chip in the history of the world.
Now, I would dispute that, but they are good.
They're
so
good. And I have a black, what is it? It's some sort of black bean and something hummus that I get. It's super expensive and foofy. But and I dip that in there. Oh, my God.
Case? Jason thinks that's disgusting. But I'm a hummus guy. I'm with you.
I think
I'm team hummus.
Black bean and cilantro.
You mean
hummus?
Othello.
Yeah. Happy birthday to Othello. I saw that on social media, right?
Yeah, happy birthday.
Othello used to work with us over at the station.
He did. You know,
when he was a kid. Mm-hmm. I think he's like 33 now.
He's a man now. He's got a kid.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
He's a full-grown man.
By the way, JP, how do you like the new setup? I got rid of my leather recliners.
Looks better.
I like the Lenny jersey's money.
Yeah, I kind of twist. This will be awful. I'll have to change this when we get back to normal if we ever do. But, yeah, this is I just kind of changed it all around, and I just like it better. I got sick of being in the recliners, and those things were so old. Those things are 15 years old, so they are out of here.
That Len Bias jersey looks so much better, especially when it's juxtaposed with that horrible alternate Wizards jersey. And I understand that it's signed by Agent Zero.
Signed Agent Zero.
You have to keep it.
Come on, man, the Hibachi.
But that jersey. Ugh, the bane of my existence.
I don't like it either. I hate that jersey.
Yeah.
And I have other signed jerseys I could put in there, like a signed Juan Dixon. Now, the problem is it's a signed Juan Dixon Wizards jersey.
Okay.
Which is not much better because it's the old blue and gold.
Yeah, blue and like bronze.
But not even that much better.
Yeah.
I actually have a Rip Hamilton signed jersey.
Man, you major in signed jerseys from the Wiz.
I got a lot of old Wiz stuff. And I have like a Holtby, but these frames, unless somebody out here wants to do us a solid.
Yeah.
These things are like $300 or $400.
They're butt expensive. Yeah.
They're butt expensive.
Yeah.
To get them done right. Now you could do it like some guys like Lurch and just hang it over a golf club or something or put it on a hanger for free.
I only have one jersey like that.
I'm not doing that. I like it to look silly, but it's just butt expensive.
All the people have been asking me about the Barry Sanders jersey lately.
Oh, yeah.
What's an update?
What's the update?
The only update is I talked to them on email. I talked to J.B. Bernstein's assistant. Her name is Maggie.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're in L.A. or in Vegas. I think they're in Vegas. But she said, a couple weeks ago, she asked me for a UPS or FedEx number so that they could pay for the shipping, right?
Right.
I said, well, hold on a second. I prepaid the shipping back. And she said, oh, yeah, you know what? We threw it out. So they botched it.
Hold on. They didn't throw out the jersey, did
they?
No,
they threw out the prepaid packaging or the envelope to come back.
You know what? It's worth it for you to prepay it again.
Well, I offered, and then she said, no, it's our fault. We'll send it back. She said, once this all settles down, I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
But they do have it. It is signed. Okay.
Get it at some point.
So I'm going to get it at some point. I thought I would have already had it by now, but obviously the Corona stuff just, altered everything. But I think I'll get it here the next, few weeks.
Hey, fellas, there's never been a better time to clean out your garage than now. Get rid of that old car or motorcycle. They'll even take the ATV or jet ski you haven't used in years. Because when you donate to the Purple Heart Foundation, you're helping a veteran in need. It's free, tax deductible, and their drivers are adhering to strict risk avoidance pickups. You won't even have to go outside. Schedule your pickup today at 888-414-4483 or visit purpleheartcars.org. That's 888-414-4483 or visit purpleheartcars.org. And what the Redskins did, put a poll on our Junks Radio Twitter account. Most give the Redskins draft a B, like 55%. I think it was right around 24%. Give it an A. We'll open up the phone lines again at 800-636-1067. Besides Chase Young, what was your favorite draft choice for the Redskins? A lot of people, at least on social media, loved the Gandy pick.
Gandy Golden.
I think it's Gibson for me personally. I just like the versatility, the fact that you've got Geis who gets injured all the time, and you've got Adrian Peterson who's aging, so you can kind of filter him into the backfield, and he can catch passes split out as a wideout. He's a weapon all over the field, and I think Scott Turner is going to utilize him as such. So I really like that pick. He was productive in a really small sample size at Memphis, and I think he'll do pretty good things in this offense. I like that pick
a lot. Haskins needs some weapons.
Yep.
So if Gibson and Gandy Golden could work out, it's a really good draft. But I
usually
like the
Charles pick. So that fourth round pick, I said it earlier that I would have liked to see them take the tight end that Helly was propping up from Florida Atlantic, because he was there. He ended up being drafted just a few picks later. But with that fourth round pick, their first pick on day three. They could have gone tight end. Instead, they went left tackle, which they need.
Mm-hmm.
I had no problem didn't go with that tight pick end. At all, especially when the reason why the guy was getting weed suspensions or whatever. The NFL don't care about weed anymore. So,
right.
He's got all the ability, it looks like, in the world. So I love that pick. I love the Gandy pick. I'm with Cakes. I would have traded down to get more picks, but if you're going to get a playmaker, somebody that could take it to the house anytime he touches the ball potentially, we don't have enough of those guys. I love the Gibson pick.
And maybe there wasn't a trade.
Touchdowns last
maybe
year.
There wasn't a trade to be made.
Yeah, and I'm just a dummy. I don't know anything.
These guys watch every one of their plays.
Yeah, I'm not questioning them. Yeah. I'm just saying if I was running the draft, I would have wanted more picks. But Rivera and Kyle Smith and company, they seem to basically stand pat and just take what was given to them. And I thought they filled the need at every spot. If you ask me who I like the most, I'm probably with Cakes. And then I like the Gibson pick because I think he's versatile. He could play anywhere. Scott Turner, obviously is going to open up the offense, and they're just going to give him another weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, Turner has experience with guys like that in McCaffrey and Curtis Samuel from his time in Carolina. So I know a lot of people are like, well, what are they going to do with him? He doesn't play really wide receiver or running back. I see that as a positive, not as a negative.
Yeah, I mean, Curtis Samuel was a running back at Ohio State in college, and now he's a receiver. So, yeah, he's like, look, you like the versatility? I like the versatility. You need weapons.
I like the fact he could take it to the house, Jason.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, they didn't have that many guys. They had Sims. They had Geis when he was there.
And
McLaurin. That was it. And Thompson. And Thompson rarely played, too. And I love Chris.
I can't remember who we talked to on Saturday who mentioned this, though. When they draft Gibson, who can be a running back, he pointed out that that might mean one of the big names at running back doesn't make the squad.
Because
right now you've got Geis, you've got Adrian Peterson, you got McKissick, who they brought in.
Right. You got Love.
You've got Bryce Love. And I'm missing
Peyton
somebody.
Peyton Barber.
So that's five running backs right there. If you add Gibson to the running back equation, somebody isn't going to make the team.
You're not going to keep five running backs, I wouldn't think. So you're right. One of those guys might be Donsky.
Or two.
Yeah.
Or if he's classified.
Because Gibson's making the team.
He's definitely making the team. But if he's classified more as a wideout, then maybe you have the luxury of carrying all of those other guys.
Yeah, true.
Into the season. So last year he had 31 carries and 38 catches.
And he
just
averaged
about 50-50.
He averaged 19 yards a catch.
Right.
In a high-octane offense, because Mike Norvell's offense, now he's at Florida State now, and Brady White was their quarterback, they would roll it, Cakes.
Yeah.
They
like
to get
like
up and down.
He's not just like a scat back type. He's like almost 230 pounds.
Oh, yeah, he's a big dude.
He breaks
not
tackles,
tall,
too. He runs through dudes.
Didn't he also average 11 yards a carry? No, he didn't have a lot of carries.
Yes.
But
something
he also averaged 11 yards a carry. So
this is
an explosive guy.
No, I think the combined yards per touch was 15.5 yards.
How can you have a problem with that pick? I don't know how you can have a problem with that. I thought it was a great pick. Loved it.
And I don't know. Some people probably look at the school he went to and go, he's just okay. But they don't, they don't watch it.
Yeah.
But I mean,
if you
Memphis
chime
can score.
In with your favorite, 800-636-1067. Like I said, I think on social media, people really love the kid from Liberty. I mean, I don't know how many people – I don't know what to believe when people are tweeting that they saw this guy play.
Well,
how
he's somewhat local. That makes
of course
sense.
They did.
Yeah, it's somewhat local.
A couple guys. Come on. How many people see games from Liberty?
We have listeners.
Yeah, we have listeners that live down there.
Yeah, a guy called in and said he had family out there, so he happened to be out there. He'd go to a few games. He said he saw him in 3 years. He saw him six times. That's not outrageous.
My only issue with
I believe him.
With Gandy Golden is like in college he was either playing like a studly team or one of the worst teams on the planet.
Right.
Like you go through the game logs and they're playing either Old Dominion, North Texas, or they're playing at Auburn. it's like I think they're an independent. They're not in a conference, correct?
Correct.
So they have to kind of just hodgepodge their schedule together. And, at Auburn, he had three grabs for 22 yards in 2018. But then he goes and plays UMass, and he has nine grabs for 205 and two touchdowns.
Right.
So it's like, it's obviously dependent on the competition that you're playing. I mean, he's playing against Idaho State.
Well, they played Syracuse. They played.
That's what I mean. Like,
yeah, they played UVA. They played
BYU.
All
or nothing with him for the most part.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So well, I mean, that's to be expected. That kind of worries me.
That's to be expected.
I haven't even looked at his college
stats. But small college kids can succeed in the NFL.
Sure. Absolutely.
And I just like the fact that he's 6'4".
Mm-hmm. And then Moss only played 1 year at LSU, right?
Yeah, because he had an injury. He was at NC State, and then he transferred, and then he had an injury, and then he played one full year. Yeah.
I know he said at the in the postseason that he considers himself more of a blocker than actually a pass catcher. That's how he clarified. That's how he classified himself.
Hmm.
So he's certainly something to the effect of he enjoys blocking every bit as much as he enjoys catching balls. In fact, he might even like that more.
EB's going to get steamed up for Randy Moss wearing burgundy and gold at FedEx Field, rooting for
his
kid. If
he makes the team.
He'll make the team.
I think he'll make the team. They got a need, dude. They're saying that Jason, I'm sure, has seen him play, but the quarterback that they signed has a great shot to make the practice squad.
Montez?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great shot to be, the third-string quarterback that they can groom. I lobbied on the air to draft from. If you could get him in the fourth or fifth round, and that's where he went.
He went fifth round, correct?
Yeah,
with the Buffalo.
Yeah. And they're saying, and I buy this too, that because of where he fit alphabetically, mm-hmm. potentially that hurt him at the combine. Apparently, he had a terrible combine. So we all know he had sort of a down junior year, and a lot of people are blaming that on his weapons. They didn't quite have the weapons that he had in years past. Mm-hmm. But they're saying at the combine because of. Who are the other? He was sandwiched between two other quarterbacks. Who are the other?
I thought it was Eason and Herbert.
Yeah, Eason and Herbert, right? And so, Eason came out there. He's got the live arm, and Herbert's got the live arm. And then, his is not. His whole thing is IQ.
Arm strength isn't right.
Yeah, and so you saw these two monsters throwing the ball, and then he got kind of sandwiched in there. It didn't look that great, and it really hurt him. And then he didn't have the opportunity because of Corona to go visit teams and do private workouts.
Well, it's funny because after 2018, everyone, because he had a bomb year in 2018, right? But he had a lot more weapons. But he was thought to possibly be a first-round pick or a second-round pick. No one thought he would slip to the fifth.
Yeah.
But again, like you mentioned, the arm strength was an issue, and then he lost a bunch of guys because Georgia was all banged up last year towards the middle of the year, towards the end of the year. So those were certain factors. But what's funny is, Eason was there in front of him. Eason gets hurt, hurts his knees out for the year, and then Fromm takes over, and Eason really didn't have a chance to come back and be the starter. So Eason transfers. So Fromm pretty much beat out Eason, but Eason goes ahead of him by around, I think.
Right.
I think he got picked in the fourth.
All right, Mike Renner.
It's just interesting how that all works.
We got Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus joining us next. Should we sneak in a phone call before we go to Mike?
Sure. You want to try? Let's go. Oh, Valdez says we don't have time. All right, we can do it after Renner.
We'll open up the phones after Mike Renner. We'll get the Pro Football Focus grades on each of the Redskins draft choices, and we'll take your calls, your impressions of the Redskins draft. Which pick you like the most, which pick you like the least. We'll do that a little bit later, but as I mentioned, Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus joins us next here on the Junkies.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.